Hello, this is Hector Vladimir. Today is the 21st of November, 2023. Temperatures are quite warm for this time of year. They've been about 72 degrees, 70 degrees, 69, 68 degrees the last few days. So they've been holding steady in the warmer side. Maybe at night, it has been dropping to the 40s degrees Fahrenheit. I wanted to jump today really quick into a subject topic that I have discussed in the past, and it is about racism and racial supremacy that occurs, that I have noticed very much in Japanese animation, in Japanese media, in Japanese games, in anime, as they call it, in all sorts of media, whether it is in books, comic books, posters, characters, heroes, superheroes, any kind of cartoon character or media character. They, by and large, I'm talking about well over 99%, very few exceptions. By and large, overwhelmingly, they are, sadly to say, extremely racist. And I don't want to blame the entirety of the Japanese population or the creators, artists, but it is so blatant that 99.9% or better of their media excludes any kind of diversity when it comes to colored anything, any character, person, depiction, even animals are 99% or better of the time overwhelmingly of Caucasian persuasion, of lighter color persuasion, of European persuasion. And I understand that the Japanese race as a group or ethnic group are by and large of lighter color when it comes to skin color, but I have noticed the overwhelming amounts of the characters, media, all of the characters and cartoons and movies that they produce, they exclude darker colored individuals. Even brown, you hardly see any individuals. But they are very sure to highlight, to include, to prop up, to make sure they rise to the top a particular race, a particular group, the European Caucasian group. They are sure to put them up on pedestals. They are sure to celebrate them, to put them as heroes, as main characters, as celebrated and very much appreciated characters. And they make sure that they are front and center. And, you know, I'm talking people with very light hair, very straight, long hair for females, very straight hair for males. Many times they are light brown and blonde and of lighter color eyes, blue, green, and many times even characters that are supposed to be even Japanese, they are often depicted with very light hair color, which is very rare for their culture, their ethnicity, their background, their race. Even light eye colors are chosen even for Japanese characters that speak Japanese, that don't speak any other language, that are supposedly born there, native there. They're depicted as blue-eyed many times, light-eyed, light hair, very, very light skin individuals with very Caucasian features, very un-Japanese features, with the larger eyes, the smaller noses, the small mouth, the very light hair and eyes. I mean, it is just horrendously blatant what they have done. I'm not sure where this vitriol for anything that is dark, brown, black, African, I don't know where the disdain comes from, originated from, because they do not include people with any kind of coarse hair. They do not include, by and large, yes, I'm not saying that there are no few exceptions here and there, maybe a handful out of the examples that I can bring up, but they, by and large, do not include any dark-skinned individuals, any coarse-haired, curly-haired, coarse-haired individuals at all, unless they are villains, many times demons, villains, very evil individuals, characters are depicted as dark with very small eye pupils and almost always with darker skin, darker hair, darker eyes. And this is very sad, very disturbing, very disappointing that the world, even Disney, has moved on past their own racism that was very prevalent in the past years, past decades. But yet, the Japanese studios remain, sad to say, racist and excluding of diversity and races that are other than Caucasian and perhaps maybe some that resemble Asian. I'm not sure where that comes from. I venture to say and venture to speculate that it may come from the war years or after the war, maybe when they first became, or, you know, artists and the main population of people, kids that later grew up to be artists during the war or the years right after the war, immediately after the war, 1946, 1947, they were increasingly exposed to American culture, to Western culture, whether it be American, British, as the victors, the occupiers of the Japanese islands, maybe. They became fans, infatuated fanatics of Americans and perhaps their culture. They noticed perhaps an overwhelming presence of Caucasian Americans, even though there were many Americans that were also from other races, like African Americans, like Indigenous Americans or Native-born Americans, even Hispanics. Hispanic Americans were also participants in the war, but they were relatively a tiny minority at the time, so they perhaps did not come in contact with them. They perhaps thought less of them when they did. Again, Asian cultures, including the Japanese, have not been exactly very welcoming to outside races, including some Western races, but specifically races from Africa, races from other Southeast Asian countries. Historically, this is verified. Historically, this has been the case. Fortunately, this is what history shows. Their incursions and expeditions into Southeast Asia show just this, their disdain for Southeast Asian peoples, races, such as in Korea, Vietnam, China, were racist, were frankly based on racism. And I have heard a few accounts of African descendants or people from African descent being treated differently, very differently, very unfairly, very discriminatory by some Japanese. I'm not going to say that's what the government holds as policy now. I am not sure what occurred as far as policy in the past, but I'm sure that's not the policy now. I'm not going to say that is the overwhelming sentiment among people, especially in the bigger cities now, but I am sure, just as it is in just about every other country outside of Africa, that distrust, disdain, hostility, and contempt toward, you know, people of African descent exists in the Japanese islands. And this is evident in their products, their work, the accounts, the reports, their behavior. And I want to highlight and say here that it is very evident in their media, in the products of their media, whether it's movies, cartoons, Japanese animation, or Japanese books, or comic books, you name it, it's there. It's the discrimination, the exclusion, the lack thereof, any kind of diversity, and the almost fanatic and sickening worship of the Caucasian European race on all of their media is just disturbingly blatant. It is as plain to see as anything else. It is there. And I'm going to give you a few examples just so you can see the movie and think about this as you see the movie, perhaps, or maybe you have already seen it. But these are a few examples of the very popular and very influential Japanese animations that have very blatant racist innuendos of exclusion of anything African, and also a fanatic love and appreciation and almost adoring view of Caucasian races, specifically blonde, light-eyed, very light-skinned individuals, especially females. There is an infatuation, almost a sickening infatuation, with that description, that figure, that depiction in very many characters and movies in Japanese culture. Here they are. So the first movie I want to discuss as being racist and basically excluding any kind of other races while at the same time almost worshipping the Caucasian race is the movie called Metropolis. It is the Japanese animation film in 2001. And it is based on a manga or comic that it is also about Metropolis. It's, I believe, a 1949 comic, but it's also based very loosely on the silent movie from 1929, the German silent movie named the same, named Metropolis. And there, the main character is a robot. A robot that was created by a very wealthy and influential businessman as a replacement for his daughter that he lost somehow. I forget how it was, but it was a tragic loss, and he wanted to very much replicate his daughter, and he basically did this as a robot with the help of a scientist. And again, the movie, it's got a diverse set of characters. It is not necessarily based in Japan. And lo and behold, guess what race and features this main character holds. And the main character is basically very much highlighted. It glows. It basically, the child's features are very much displayed and appreciated. And it is very much a feature of the film to notice the way of the hair, the flowing, glowing hair of the character, which is light blonde, the very light and glittery and shining eyes, which are blue. And this is all, again, made by a Japanese artist for presumably a primarily Japanese audience. And of course, the film is of international quality. It did make international success. It did rank as one of the best Japanese animation films. But yet, the film is basically a racist and excluding film because there are no brown or people of color in the film. Out of the many characters that were depicted in the film, zero, because I've seen the movie several times, zero were of diverse background when it comes to skin color. And they were all light skin, and very many of them were of light hair, light eyes. And again, if there were any characters, robot or human, that were depicted with darker skin, which none of them were very dark, but the darker skinned individuals were always evil, were always lowly, were always replaceable or expendable. And that is an indicator of racist mentality that is basically a feature of the film. Another media that I want to bring up as being quite racist that is of Japanese origin is the Ninja Gaiden series. It is a game, but the game itself has a lot of cutscenes, basically animated movies, and The jewel of the game is basically a Caucasian, a very European-looking female, very bodacious and voluptuous female that is clearly being held up in a pedestal, on a pedestal, as a prized and very wanted individual. And lo and behold, this person is of very European looks. Again, blonde hair, blue eyes, very small nose and mouth, and again, of very curvy proportions. And that same theme goes throughout the series. The Ninja Gaiden series goes back to, I believe, the mid-80s. It's quite long-winded. And, of course, it's of Japanese origin. It is a ninja that is presumably of Japanese origin, which, of course, also is of Caucasian features. Again, with the light skin, light hair, and blue eyes, which is very curious for a ninja to have such features. And, I mean, the list goes on. The list is long. Talking about perhaps hundreds of films and games that you can name, perhaps more than that, that have these racist and exclusionary mentality, behavior. They have basically all the signs of being discriminatory and racist. The Mario, Super Mario Brothers, the entire series, whether it's games, movies, comic books, books, cartoons, whatever else there is, you name it, they have the same exclusionary, racist, and discriminatory policy. And basically, the same is repeated throughout the series without any exception, almost any exception. I have not seen the first exception to this, where only light-skinned, Caucasian-looking characters are displayed, are propped up, are highlighted, are well displayed and prominently put front and center and celebrated in every scene, every step. And this is without exception throughout the series. Look it up with this knowledge, notice it, and you'll see how blatantly consistent this is. I mean, it is almost to the point where it is vomit-inducing, that racism and exclusion from the Super Mario Brothers, anything that they have put out. Another one is Sonic the Hedgehog, another character with Caucasian features, also of Japanese origin. The Ghost in the Shell movies, very racist, with the main character as being, you know, Japanese-speaking, Japanese origin, yet she has blue eyes and very, very light skin. The main characters, basically all of the characters from Appleseed.
The Gaijin Complex is a controversial subject, and many Japanese avoid talking about it. But I am Japanese, and I am not afraid to talk about it. Japanese people do not have the Gaijin complex towards people from other Asian countries. But they do have an inferiority complex towards certain non-Asian foreigners, mainly towards Caucasian foreigners from developed Western countries. Yumi Nakata, from her article, What is the Gaijin Complex? And how do Japanese people really feel about foreigners? 4. The Gaijin Pod Blog, June 22nd, 2014.
Some of the films that I'm speaking about that are racist in nature, that exclude any kind of diversity, any kind of brown, dark-skinned individuals, characters, individuals that appear of African descent. Some of these include very influential, popular films from Japan. Some of them are the Sailor Moon series. It's basically a series, a cartoon series that was quite popular back in the, I believe, mid-90s. Dragon Ball Z, it has been rolling, going on for over a decade, I believe, since the mid-90s as well. It is still in existence. A series that was quite popular also in the 90s and the early 2000s called Neon Genesis Evangelion, something like that. There are, again, like I said, many, many movies that you can point to that have these characters. Naruto is one of them that have these Caucasian features, and they are basically, again, very much appreciated characters, celebrated, upheld, hugged, put in the limelight, put on pedestals, etc. And when it comes to dark-skinned individuals, they're either non-existent or they are villains. For example, the movie called Ninja Scroll, quite popular, I believe, from the late 90s. Ninja Scroll has very much all Japanese-looking characters, and the only dark-skinned character, which is more like a rock or man made out of rock or some sort of tree bark, is the villain, is one of the villains, the enemies, the demons, and is basically the only dark-complected individual in that movie. And that pattern basically repeats over and over in all of the Japanese animation movies that I can think of. This is the same on their regular movies. And I'm picking on Japanese media because that's the topic of this chat right now. I can go on with that with the Chinese media. I can go on with that with American media, with European media. I mean, this is a worldwide phenomenon. This is to include also media coming out of India, that light-skinned individuals basically steal the show. They are held up as prized, as desired, as the best heroes, and the people that are to be loved and appreciated the most. And other people are either excluded altogether, ignored, non-existent, or depicted as undesirables, as poor, as diminished, as belittled, not as worthy or smart or capable or powerful, etc. It is so expected. It is so the same and like a cookie cutter production going on that is just vomit-inducing. It is just depressing the way things have been with media. So Japanese media has let me down throughout the decades. Especially now, I'm more aware of these things, and I hope you become also aware. Japanese media is highly consumed throughout the world. It is probably the biggest industrially produced media when it comes especially to animation, to shows for kids, cartoons, games, etc. It is highly beloved. It is an industry that has been very, very popular for many decades now, I believe since the mid-70s. And it is something that may not change. And they are just capitalizing on the world's racism. They're capitalizing on the world's hatred toward darker, complected peoples, races. And this is wrong, immoral. This is not to be accepted. This is to be rejected at all costs and in all situations. And if you're buying, consuming, watching Japanese animation, characters, media, books, comic books, games, you ought to think about that and what you're doing, what you're putting your money into. You are basically feeding this stereotype of white makes right, of white makes might, and white or light being accepted over dark and African. And this is the wrong way to do it. This is the wrong way to live, to spend your money. And this brings nothing but the perpetuation of white supremacy, of racism, of discrimination, of hatred toward anything African or of African descent. And that must change. The change has been coming for a long time. It is finally happening with companies like Disney, perhaps in a slower and more timid manner with other companies, production companies such as DreamWorks. They have a few very timid and reluctant moves toward inclusion, and that's about it. Other media companies may be there that escape my mind right now. I may post that in an update for this video or audio chat, and I may put it on the notes or description of this content. So look for that, for the companies, production film companies that are making an effort to include other races other than Caucasians, other than European races. And again, Disney. Disney's at the forefront of this. They are valiantly in charge and valiantly pushing forward with inclusion and diversity in their media, their movies. It is evident, it is alive, and it is basically making them money. It is a business move as well as a moral move that they have made. No doubt about it, they have lost money as well as gained money in many, many respects. And it has paid off, I believe. They have found out that having more inclusion, darker characters, or African-American characters on their movies, on their media, it is not a death sentence like the Japanese, that they are reluctant to have any characters of color because of the fear, this trembling and cowardly fear of losing a few bucks here and there, which, again, it is unsubstantiated. It is false, and with evidence from Disney and other media companies that have taken the bold step to include what they have been excluding for many, many decades now, which is brown-skinned, dark-skinned, black-skinned characters in roles that are worthy of those people that have been historically oppressed to have, of importance, roles of capability, roles of wealth, power, of influence. And again, this is something that the Japanese film industry, media industry, and game industry is severely and depressingly lacking right now. So hopefully videos like this to expose the Japanese media and game and animation industry will make a difference. Perhaps not immediately, but perhaps, you know, little by little, gradually in the future, they will realize that yes, we must recognize that we have been racist and exclusive and discriminatory throughout the decades. We have basically kneeled on the altar of white supremacy. We have kneeled on the altar of discrimination in the name of making a few bucks. And we have kneeled to and bowed down, very deep bow to white supremacy. And it is an undeniable fact that that has been the case. Again, companies like Nintendo, Sony, Pioneer, Ghibli Studios, and many, many other giants when it comes to Japanese animation and gaming. Namco, Konami, Tecmo, and all of those Japanese companies that escape my mind right now and that have not put up and shown up their courage to change the status quo, the racist and discriminatory status quo. Shame on them. Shame on them. Change your ways, include other races, include diversity in your movies, in your games, in your media, in your books, in your comic books. Make a change and be valiant. Be a change for difference. Be on the right side of history and stop having fear and bowing down to the racism and discrimination that you have bowed down for long enough. Shame on you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Please look for the next episode soon, and please ensure to share this with your friends and family. And please like this content and subscribe as a sign of support and for me to continue to provide this type of content to more people like you. Lastly, if you wish to support this content further, please visit the links provided in this publication. Thank you.